course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. Just living the dream. I was going to get on a plane a little bit earlier, but I decided not to after watching our movie today.
That's right. Good call. Good call. Especially, don't do it with any bosses.
That's right.
So the movie we are reviewing today is Send Help. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we get there, let's take a few minutes to talk. On February 20th through 22nd, we attended Pensacon in Pensacon, Florida. So let's talk a little bit about the con and review it. Ike, what did you think as a returning attendee of Pensacon this year?
Yeah, definitely. For people who've never been, it takes place in the Pensacola Bay Center, which is where our local hockey team, the Ice Flyers, play. And obviously they have other events there too. They do a lot of like stadium type events. I'm pretty sure, we saw a sign that Gabriel Iglesias is going to be there, but, so that's kind of what we're working with. The, Pensacola Bay Center is not huge. There's a lot of seating, but it really is. I mean, you can tell it's essentially made for hockey, based on how the internal ring is set up. So, definitely not the biggest convention center we've been to, considering we've been to the C2E2 in Chicago and also San Diego. But again, that is not the fault of the Pensacon people. That's just what they're working with. So when you go inside, they really make use of the space. There was actually parts of the place that I had never been to before that we kind of got to see a little bit. Especially like in the upper ring where like they have all the artist vendors and stuff like that. And then in some of the back room type things, they have some of the guests and whatnot. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed getting to kind of explore a little bit more. We got to take some cool pictures with some people, hand out some business cards. And we also got to see a couple panels. Specifically, we got to see the Lost Boys panel, which is really neat. But no, it's really cool. And, it's also near downtown Pensacola, which is, in my opinion, it's a very nice downtown area. It's very, very, very nice. Lots of restaurants, a lot of stuff that's within walking distance of the Bay Center, which is another benefit. Which is, I guess, is probably a big reason why they chose that area, not just for its size, but probably because it's very, very close to like a lot of like restaurants and stuff. The other fun thing is that a lot of the restaurants nearby, they have like theme nights. They did this last year or at the year that I went, which is 2 years ago, but, they had a SpongeBob night somewhere. But I'm too old to go out that late anymore. So,
yeah. Yeah. And again, yeah, like you said, the Bay Center, it's peculiar and how it's laid up to it works for a convention. But Pensacon has grown to the point where, obviously it's theoretically, it's almost like they've outgrown it, but yeah. there's nowhere else to be. Another, I know there are supposedly a new Bay Center and convention center and things in the talks in the future. So that might help them in the long term. But one of the good things about Pensacon here is we say lack of space, not as a negative, just because, again, they bring in these great guests and all these guests, these big name guests. So it's almost like they're too big for it, but it's what they have to work with. So they have developed unique solutions by using some nearby facilities for things and to make it convenient for attendees. They do have a free, like, a trolley, a bus type thing that shuttles people. Which is helpful, right? I mean, they've come up with some, they know their problems. They know their issues that they, and problem, not problem, issues. And they've come up with solutions that, and made them work for attendees. They have completely utilized every available space nearby for parking, which is good. You may still have to walk a little bit just because of the number of people that come, But if there's any space that they could park a car in, nearby, they have gotten people on board and done that. But
I think where we parked, they did like they were doing something where all the proceeds went towards like Christmas lights or something, like for like a parade or something.
Lots of groups do that and stuff. So, and there was a lot of things like that involved, with the convention, right? For different things. We went to some panels and stuff. They have, plenty of panels, a wide variety of panels, a wide variety of guests. I mean, any kind of whatever vein of pop culture you're into, there's somebody there. It's there. I can't imagine anybody who's into anything remotely pop culture related, movies, TV, whatever it might be, could not find a guest that they would not be excited about. There was a really good selection of vendors, with a nice variety of stuff. You didn't see the same stuff, like something, at convention you see that, and it was a nice variety of people. There was, again, a little bit of something for everybody, whether you're into gaming, whether you're into certain TV shows, certain movies, certain whatever it might be. Lots of very creative people there with lots of cool stuff. And of course, like any convention worth its weight in salt, the highlight is, for me, is always the cosplayers. And Pensacon, man, there was so everybody. It seemed like everybody had, except for us. But when we were wearing the big guy podcast costume, so we're okay.
That's right.
There were so many people in costume, and again, from every vein of pop culture imaginable. And if you again, if you see our social media, we've got some pictures with some horror related ones that that were icons and keys. Again, we made a few friends, right? We got some people that have picked us up and followed us. We already have noticed since the kind of people that we recognized when they followed us based on meeting them at the convention. So we'd like to say hi to them. Hopefully, they're tuning in and listening. But yeah, it was a very, very fun event. I think it was very beneficial for us as a podcast. We got to, like I said, make some connections, meet a lot of people, hand out some cards, just be visible, which is good, right? Wearing our Listen to Our Scream shirts, which garnered attention. People noticed, people saw the shirts, and were curious, so that's good. But again, it was a lot of fun to attend. We are appreciative for the allowing us to attend and cover as media, and being able to, and hopefully, they're happy with the pictures, the coverage we've done. There's a process involved with, when they show your coverage. We've done all that. It's so, whatever else. So, we look forward to next year, where hopefully we'll get to attend again and cover it again for you guys, and help give a little exposure to some different vendors and cosplayers and so forth, and help spread the word of what they're doing. So, well done, Pensacon. We had a great time. Look forward to next year. They've already announced a handful of guests. Did you see the Eighth Doctor is going to be there?
Yeah, so I saw Paul McGann was going to be
That's
there.
right. Very excited.
There was a couple of returning guests too. Like some of the people who were here this year, they went ahead and they said they would come back for next year too, which is fun.
Yeah, very excited about Paul McGann. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, and I will take any opportunity to meet any doctor. So that'll be great. I look forward to that. So it's always exciting then to see as it develops and who they announce as guests, and who trickles out over time. And they do that almost right up to showtime. I mean, they were still announcing guests just, I think, just days before, which is pretty cool. But it's always exciting, and one of those things, I know when they announce, someone of note for us. I mean, they're all of note, but I mean for us in particular, who someone struck a chord with us. We were always, texting whatever. Oh, did you see who they announced? Blah, blah, blah. So that's exciting. That's a great way of keeping the interest in the convention, and everything else. So very exciting. Very well done, Pensacon. And again, we look forward to seeing you in 2027. So before we move on to all the usual stuff, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Honestly, not a whole lot. Been kind of busy after Pensacon and everything else. I'm trying to think what I have watched or anything like that. Honestly, I can't think of anything that I really sat down and watched, other than of course Send Help, which we're reviewing here later. And I've already rewatched all the Scream movies since the last episode. We watched everything prior to that. So no, I think that's pretty much it. Just send help.
Well, I have a I did finish my Texas Chainsaw rewatch. I can't remember how many I had left when we talked last episode, but whatever it may be, I finished them. Officially watched through them all. And I have started my Scream rewatch. I just got a couple more left. Very, very excited for that movie to come out, but we'll talk a little more about that in a bit.
Nice.
So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will go have our news, anniversaries, upcoming releases, all of that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we're going to start us off here. Damien Leone has said that the script for Terrified 4 is almost completed, and he is hoping to begin pre-production this spring. This is, of course, fantastic news for all those Terrifier lovers out there. You know, there's been a lot of like rumors and stuff, a lot of people talking about this, and obviously, you know, with AI, there's been a plethora of like, you know, people making like fake you know posters and
Yes.
all that stuff. Which I hate, but I mean
Yes.
that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I'm very excited that Damien Leone has kind of come out and you know given us a little bit more information. And you know, I figured it was kind of we were almost there, like we were almost to the pre-production. So we should hopefully have Terrifier 4 in 2027, if I had to hazard a guess.
Yeah, I think so. He did note in his announcement, you know, that he was aware, hey, maybe it's taking a little longer, but he said this is the most critical script in writing he's ever done. He wants to make sure it is perfect, it is right. He has said this is, at least for now, is the final Terrifier film. He has said that this is going to give Art's backstory and why he is and lots of that kind of stuff. So obviously, he wants to get it right for, you know, not only for himself, but for fans. So he's taking his time. I'm sure he's doing several passes, brainstorming, whatever his process is. So, it is appreciative that he gets an update, right? Because he knows people are talking, people are saying things, and yeah, you know, so he cuts right through the bullshit and from the man himself tells us where it is. So it is exciting. I'm glad he has taken his time. Obviously, we know he cares about the product, but. Yeah, it's I'm glad he's taking his time and taking it very, very seriously. And very, very exciting that it's getting ready to go into pre-production. And should be fun. It will be fun. So if we get it 2020, you know, 2027, I guess you can pencil it in, you know. I'm sure we don't claim to not be biased. You know, I'm sure Terrifier 4 will be our number one
No,
movie in
number one,
2027. But who knows, I guess. I mean, but yeah, so very
It'll be
exciting
no,
that.
no, it'll be number one on our preview for 2027, and then number one on our review of 2027.
It's something we'll talk about every episode.
Oh, for sure. It'll be Scream 7 for next year.
Oh, which speaking of, this is not in the news, but they have said that Neve Campbell has said that, yeah, that they've pretty much Scream 8's ready to go. I mean, not like release wise, but they're ready to start
Heard
work on it.
that. I
That
did hear
they,
that, which is exciting.
yeah, that they, when they pitched 7 to her, they already had some ideas for 8. So I like that. I like the fact that they've got a kind of a big picture in mind for the two. There's going to be no doubt that Scream 7 is probably going to just absolutely kill the box office this weekend.
Oh, for sure.
So I don't. I foresee. Yeah, Scream 8. They're going to get right down to it, and I will be. I will get Scream 8 sooner than later. So very exciting news there too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But we'll have more Scream 8 news because I'm sure, like you said, as soon as this movie kills the box office this weekend, they're going to definitely be hyping that up big time. They're going to be talking about it. They're going to be like, "Oh, we're going to get this in production really soon." Blah blah. So. Yeah, we'll see how that happens. But in a slightly different news, in a different different franchise that we talk about a lot, Evil Dead Burn is coming to theaters on July 24th, and it has been announced that the follow up Evil Dead Wrath is now in production, likely for again a 2027 release. So already 2026 has been a really good year for horror. 2027 is shaping up to be a really good year as well. So that's really exciting. But yeah, this is kind of like the trilogy, right? It was supposed to be, you know, Evil Dead Rise, Evil Dead Burn, Evil Dead Wrath, sort of a new trilogy in the franchise. So that is exciting to hear that they're already hopping and jumping on that.
Yeah, we loved Rise. So very, even more excited than for Burn and Wrath because of that even. And yeah, and, you know, all the rumors of, oh, well, there's talks, you know, perhaps they'll bring the entire franchise and all the different avenues together, you know, tie it all up, make it all canonical with each other and stuff. And so it's exciting. I'm excited to see what they do with it. Yeah, I can't wait. It's like with all the Scream 7 stuff and everything else, it's like I forgot we had an Evil Dead movie coming this summer.
Nice. No, say life's been busy. I mean, you know, we've been so focused on the first 2 months of 2026 that we're like, man, like, what else is coming this year? I mean, we're also getting non-horror, but we're getting, like, I forgot, I was actually talking to somebody at my job. They were they mentioned that we're getting Avengers Doomsday this year, and I'm like, oh, like, fuck yeah, we're getting the big Avengers movie later this year, which is a huge deal too. So, but
good year.
It's going to be a good year for movies, I'm telling you. And we're also getting the Supergirl movie here soon, too. So,
yeah.
Woman of Tomorrow, I think it is.
Yeah. Looking forward to that, too.
Oh, absolutely. But anyways, we're not a superhero podcast. We could. But
could be,
we're going to talk about horror. So, speaking of horror, Bambi. Yeah, that's right. Bambi. No, I'm just kidding. Bambi the Reckoning is coming to Peacock March 27th. I believe Dave and I, we've already watched this. We've watched this on a screener. We actually got to kind of see we did not see the final cut. There was still a little bit of editing that had to be done on our screener of it, but we still got to watch it. And it was really neat to kind of see it prior to completion. There was just a little, it was mostly polish, I feel like, with some of the CGI and effects. But we got to watch this movie early on a screener, which was super exciting.
Yeah. And, yeah, everybody knows we love the public domain horror, as we call it. Bambi the Reckoning was a good one. We did. I remember saying in our review that this one really, it worked for the horror, right? It's like the premise, the setup, the delivery, the way it, the effects, it really worked. One of the better concepts of these public domain horror, I think, that it really clicks. And it's exciting to see it come into Peacock because that's a major platform. And we'll hopefully gain a lot of exposure for them. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to give it a rewatch and see, like you said, see what the actual final product with all the spit and shine on it is. But I'm just excited to rewatch it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely have to check that out here in March. But one more piece of news that is actually not on today's agenda is... Mm-hmm. Ooh, the next installment of the Resident Evil franchise, Resident Evil 9 Requiem, is releasing tomorrow, February 27th. So this comes out on the 26th. February 27th, the new game for the Resident Evil franchise will be released. This is super exciting. Obviously, for everybody who knows, I'm a huge Resident Evil fan. And I didn't say it earlier because I wanted to say it now. The reason I've not watched much this week is that any spare time I've had, I've spent playing the other Resident Evil games in anticipation for this game. So I'm very excited about this. Resident Evil, obviously, I love Resident Evil. We have a Resident Evil movie coming out later this year from Zach Krieger. And, you know, so it's super exciting year for all video game horror because of all the stuff that we've gotten this year and that we're going to continue to get this year. But specifically Resident Evil 9 is super, something I'm super excited about. I've already pre-ordered it. I have it pre-downloaded on my Xbox. I will be playing that bad boy as soon as it comes out. Maybe not tonight since I have to work tomorrow. Now, if I were in my younger years, I might stay up and play it. you know, I did that pretty often. I'd stay up until, you know, midnight and play the game for a few hours before I had to conk out and go to bed and wake up for work the next day or whatever. But nope, I don't do that anymore. I'm too old. So,
right.
But no, I'll definitely play this tomorrow, and I'm just super excited about it. It's got some returning characters, and it's going to kind of tie up some loose ends potentially and make some sense with some of the other games. So I'm very, very excited for this. And if anybody knows me, I love me some zombies, and I love to kill zombies. So
yeah. Yeah. And then speaking of, you know, video game movies, the Return to Silent Hill now available video on demand. I don't know if we've said that in the past episodes, but it is out there. Video on demand now. And, we do have, there's another horror movie coming up that I didn't realize, but I guess is based on a game too. Oh, what's it called? Something room or rooms.
Oh, the back rooms.
Back rooms. Yeah. It was about something about secret rooms under a furniture store or something. I don't know. I saw a little description of it, but yeah, it's coming out and it's getting a lot of attention on social media coming out. So I didn't realize that it was based on a game, but yeah, that's coming out as well sometime soon.
Yep. So just for clarification, in case anybody is confused, the Backrooms are, they were originally an online story, sort of like a creepypasta. And what it was is that it was kind of about liminal spaces. If you don't know, people don't know what liminal spaces are. Basically, it's a space that you look into. It feels familiar and it almost feels comfortable, but you also get sort of this uncanniness from the space. So that's kind of what a liminal space is. It's kind of like if you see a playground that's empty and it reminds you of a playground from when you were young, but something eerie about the playground exists. That's kind of what that is. But no, this is A24, which is super exciting.
That's why it's getting attention.
Yeah, it's A24, and I can't remember the guy's name, but one of the people who popularized the concept of the back rooms, because the original concept was just that you can randomly end up in the back rooms. Like you've got like a 1 in a million chance of walking through a door and you end up in the back rooms. And it's basically a never ending series of hallways and rooms, basically indefinitely. And
yeah, well, there is another YouTuber, right? That was really involved with this.
Yeah, that's what's good. YouTuber, he popularized sort of a meta of the back rooms, because the original back rooms, it was just you're stuck in the back rooms. But he kind of transformed it and he kind of created some lore around the back rooms, and there's monsters. Now, the trailer that they put out is very, very limited, very minimal. And we really don't know if there's going to be monsters or if there's just going to be back rooms. So we don't really know. But what we do know is that A24 is on the case. They have collaboration with the YouTuber, which is super exciting. So it's very interesting to see how we're going to, basically I'm very curious to see what version of the back rooms we're going to get, you know. Yeah. That's what I'm interested in, but it's going to be fun for sure.
Absolutely.
But, yep. And there is video games. You are correct. There's a lot of fan made video games about this. I mean, you could literally, if you Google backroom video games, you're going to get like a billion. So, make sure you don't download a virus if you, you go to play that.
make sure you get some free time.
You're right. But, anywho, I think that should do it for our news. I'll say we rambled a little bit, but that's always good. We're going to jump now to some upcoming birthdays. So we got February 26th, 1977. We have James Wan. We have the creative mind behind Saw, Insidious, and The Conjuring. Of course, we both love James Wan. James Wan is an amazing director and creator. And he really is a modern, I don't know who to compare him to, really. I would say maybe more in line with like a Wes Craven, like a modern Wes Craven. Yeah. Just because his stuff is a little more meta in terms of like, it's not your standard slasher. Saw is not your standard slasher. Neither is the Insidious or the Conjuring movie, your standard haunting movies. No, I think that he stands out on his own, but, he's fantastic. I love James Wan.
Yeah. Hard to believe, man. When one person involved in those three franchises, that's just unreal. What a resume.
It really is. But, we'll go ahead and jump to our next birthday, which is March 1st, 1978. Woo! Jensen Ackles. Jensen Ackles, of course, is known for his roles in Supernatural, My Bloody Valentine, and some other stuff too.
The Boys.
I mean, he's been in so many things. But funnily enough, actually, I saw some. This is kind of sad. For everyone who knows and who loves, yeah. What is it, Grey's Anatomy? Or Euphoria, Eric Dane recently passed away. after a battle with ALS, which is super sad. But him and Eric Dane were actually really good friends, and like, you know, Jensen took care of him and stuff and really helped them.
They worked together on that countdown show that that Ackles was in, but just one season, which by the way was amazing. It's a great show. Should have got picked up. Fuck you for canceling that show. But yeah, Eric Dane was in that show. It's pretty, if you knew that Eric Dane was sick, you noticed the little things in that show about like his, you know, he wasn't moving his arms and different things. You know what I mean? Different things like that.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, you probably didn't notice, but they were very, kind of very creative in how they did his character. In it to hide that with the, you know, camera stuff. But yeah, him and Ackles got to know each other really well. Maybe before, I don't know, maybe possibly even before, I don't know, but I know they did work on Countdown together.
Yeah. But I saw a video where they were in an interview together, kind of talking. But it's just so crazy because like we all know that Jensen Ackles is a pretty stand up dude, but you know, it was kind of sad, but also very heartwarming to like see him, you know, kind of helping him out and stuff. So, that is our Dean Winchester after all. So, but
love Ackles, my man crush.
That's right.
Everybody knows how much I love Supernatural. I love Sam, but I'm a Dean guy. I don't care what you think about Supernatural. Ackles was on a soap opera. I don't care what you think about that. Whatever you be saying, fucking Jensen Ackles is one of the most talented actors out there. He is so good. He does all the little things, you know, the facial stuff. A lot of that, I'm sure he learned doing a soap opera because you know, you're on the fly and you don't have as many takes and this and that. But
yeah,
he is so fucking can sing. Motherfucker can sing. He has a band. Everybody always says that they love Ackles, but then they hate him because he can literally do anything. In the one Supernatural episode with him and DJ Qualls doing the dance, remember that? The dancey. DJ Qualls told the story when I saw him at that convention where he came to learn the choreography. You know, and he showed up, and Ackles was already there. He had shown up early, and by the time Qualls got there, Ackles already knew it and already had it down, just like that. And if you watch it, it fucking looks like Ackles has got to have dance training, but he doesn't. And but it's just I could do a Jensen Ackles podcast. I love Jensen Ackles, but no, March 1st should be a fucking holiday. Go Jensen Ackles.
That's right.
So,
but all right, enough glazing with Jensen Ackles. We love the guy.
I'm swooning.
He's swooning. It is his birthday, and we'll be seeing him pretty soon in the next season on The Boys. So
yeah, and that in the preview, prequel show, I think it's called Vought Rising. He's in that. I think he's the centerpiece of that. So yeah,
exciting. We'll have to check that out. I watched everything about The Boys. I need to watch Gen 5 or whatever it's called.
Gen V. Yeah.
But no, for sure, I'll definitely watch a prequel show with Ackles.
And there is, in this upcoming season of The Boys, there is an episode that does have Ackles, obviously, in it, but also has Jared Padalecki and Misha Collins in one episode.
I heard that. I heard that they were kind of bringing the boys back together because I know Bobby's in the show, and Eric Kripke is.
He uses everybody. Yeah. All these, you know, he has his guys, and he's used them. There's so many Supernatural people that have been in it. I mean, you know, Rob Benedict, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I could go on and on and on. Even some of the actors just had small parts of Supernatural. But there is an episode. So that'll be fun to watch those three back together.
Yep. Well, you know, what's that song? The boys are back in town.
Right. But, and they said the day that they filmed, all three of them on set at the same time, that Ackles told everybody, or not Ackles, Kripke told everybody ahead of time, hey, just be warned. You're going to have to work twice as hard to get done because these three will be, you know, they'll be a little, you know, goofballs when they all get together that they like the joke and everything else. So apparently everybody got pre-warned about when these three get together. It's quite a riot.
Absolutely. But, all right. Happy birthday, Jensen. And, we'll watch you very soon in the last season of The Boys and in the prequel show. But, for now, we'll jump to our last birthday for this week, which is March 4th of 1947. We have Gunnar Hansen, the OG Leatherface. Very timely. They just finished his watch through of the you know, Texas Chainsaw movies and all varieties and flavors. So Gunnar Hansen was the first. And you know, it's a fantastic. He did a great job. I mean, that first, you know, Leatherface, that first Texas Chainsaw movie really was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. So very, very excited to see that. And obviously, Gunnar Hansen's the OG. I don't think, did he ever come back and do anything, or does he, you know, I'm assuming he's still kicking.
No, he's not alive.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
I don't. Oh man, I don't know if. I don't remember if he just did the first movie or, because I think there's a gap between the two. So I think he may have just done the first one. Not 100% on that. I should know that, but you know, I'm sorry. No disrespect to anybody else. Everybody did a great job for the most part that played him. But you know, Gunnar Hansen was the best. Right. The first is the best. He set the standard, set the bar, set the style. So yeah, he was great. And you know, I love several of those movies, but overall the first one's the best. But although we know that I have a very soft spot in my heart for the second one. So fun.
Just gonna say, the second one's a good time. But he did the first one, and then he did come back for the 2013 Texas Chainsaw movie. I guess he played Boss Sawyer, so maybe in that opening scene.
Really? I just watched it. I don't think I paid attention to that.
I was gonna say that opening scene, it's pretty much a quick, like, if you blink, you miss it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Gunnar Hansen's the OG. I mean, like we said, he's literally the original gangster as far as playing a Leatherface goes. So, but in any case, happy birthday and in memoriam. You are correct. He did pass away back in 2015. So yeah. 11 years ago, that's crazy. But we will jump now to our upcoming movie anniversaries. We got two. February 27, 1987, we had Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
Dream Warriors is, I would say, probably one of the best, if not the best, horror sequel. It's one of those conversations when you start looking at sequels of horror, it almost as a rule, horror sequels are not good, right? Almost as a rule. Now, there are obviously exceptions to those rules. But Nightmare on Elm Street is sort of unique in that the first movie is great. The second movie is still good, but it did not live up to the first movie. And then you have Dream Warriors, the third movie, which I would say lives up to the first movie in its own way. So it's weird that, like, this franchise had like a kind of a bell curve. It was like, you know, we're up here with the first one. We kind of dipped a little bit of the second one, but we're back up here with the third one. I love Dream Warriors. I think we talked about Dream Warriors a lot in the past, but it's one of my favorite Nightmare movies.
Yeah. Oh, it is my favorite Nightmare movie. And again, I think Dream Warriors is the epitome of what a Nightmare movie is. If somebody wants to know what Freddy's like, what Nightmare on Elm Street's like, what's the franchise like, you show them Dream Warriors, because it's got that fucking smart-ass joke-cracking Freddy, you know, and he really fucking twists the dreams and nightmares and plays on people's vices and weaknesses, and the kills are great. I think this is the epitome of the franchise. And if you're going to show somebody one Nightmare movie, this is the one.
Yeah, I would agree. If you didn't want to show them the original, which I think you should still show them the original. I think the original still holds up pretty well.
It does,
but for sure, the third one I would say is maybe a little more palatable to a modern viewer versus the OG.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Happy anniversary to Dream Warriors. And then one last one here we have for us is March 2nd of 1985. We have Ghoulies. It's been a very long time since I've seen this movie. I almost do not remember what it's about.
Just the little fucking ghoulie things or whatever. Yeah, it's just kind of a little whatever creature-y type movie. It's pretty good. There's several sequels that have not quite as good, but the first one's fun. But it's been a long time since I've watched it too, so I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Not necessarily one of my favorite movies that I go back and rewatch. So
yeah, I was gonna say I think I've watched it maybe the once. I'm pretty sure this one has like a bunch of sequels too, doesn't it?
It does, and they're not nearly as good.
Okay, I didn't figure they typically aren't, but you know, as again par for the course with stuff like this, but. No problem with that. But all right, we'll move on to our upcoming release. As we have talked about already multiple times in the show, our upcoming release is Scream 7, coming to theaters on February 27th. Yeah. And it is described. Woo! It is described as, when a new Ghostface killer emerges in the town where Sydney Prescott has built a new life, her darkest fears are realized as her daughter becomes the next target. We will obviously be watching this movie and reviewing it next episode. You know, so it's very unique that we are still getting Scream movies. A lot of other franchises have gone and passed and died and killed on the production floor. And so it's very unique that we have a movie from the 90s that is still churning out movies almost 20 years later. So it's very exciting that we still get, you know, movies like this, and, you know, we're still getting Scream movies, and we're going to continue to get Scream movies because they already got another one lined up. I'm very curious. I'm painfully curious. I'm trying to avoid spoilers, but I'm so very painfully curious to know who the killer is. And I know we're going to find out so soon, but like, I just want, I wish I could have confirmation that it is in fact Stu Mocker, but without being told it's Stu Mocker. I don't know.
Don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works either. I'm crazy, but I'm old man yelling at the clouds. Stu Mocker is back, baby. I'm calling it now.
Well, let's hope that I'm hoping. We know he somehow ties into this movie in some way, but
true.
This is, I'm so excited for this. This is the first movie in forever that I'm actually going to watch on opening night, opening show showing, because I can't wait any longer. And and I don't want anything ruined, right? I know some, there are already some people that have seen preview showings, and I'm being very careful. And thankfully, so far, everything I've seen on social media, people are being very respectful to not share anything. So I'm super excited. Can't wait. We don't need to ramble. We've already spoke of Scream some. We're obviously going to talk a lot about it next episode. So let's just leave it. I'm super excited. Can't wait to see it.
Amen. But all right, that does it for our upcoming, or I should say that does it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We are going to take a very quick break, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Send Help. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, we're back here and listen to the screams. We are down the home stretch. It is review time, and we are talking about Send Help. Now, this came out a few weeks ago. It was released on January 30th in theaters, written by Damian Shannon and Mark Swift, directed, of course, by the great, legendary Sam Raimi, starring the fantastic Rachel McAdams, the extraordinary Dylan O'Brien, and many others. Or actually, not many others. Well, there were several in it, but not with major parts.
No.
Again, like I said, released January 30th in theaters. It did gross $19,102,299 domestically. Opening weekend, good for number one. I think it was number one for 2 or 3 weeks. Again, this will be a quick review because there's just not a lot to say here. Let me start by this. I enjoyed the movie. Loved the movie. It was fun. It was a really great movie. Really fun to watch. Didn't feel like a horror movie, though.
No.
And one of these recent traps that I don't know why they do this. You go out and it's plugged on all the horror sites and the news sites and the horror pages and social medias. You look it up in IMDb and it says, you know, psychological horror, thriller, the horror. It mentions it's horror in there. You look at the poster and it's her covered in blood screaming and it looks horror. And you think, okay, so maybe there's some kind of twist in there. Maybe there's something a little more to what it just sounds like on the surface. Nope. I mean, not really a spoiler, but it's a fun movie. It's a good story. There is a little bit of a twist, but it's not a horror twist. Again, I'm not knocking the movie. I like the movie. It's not a horror movie. There wasn't any of that, right? There was maybe a touch of a thriller to it. Not even that much, but a little bit. I'm sorry, people. I don't know what this trap is. A thriller is not a horror. Those aren't one and the same. And just because the movie has a touch of blood or some suspense, that doesn't make it a horror. There was nothing scary in this movie. There was nothing tense or suspenseful about this movie. There was nothing supernatural in this movie. And I don't think any of that's a spoiler, but it's not a horror movie. So in that vein, I'm a little disappointed because I felt like we kind of got looped in to think there was something more to it. And I really just felt like the marketing led us to believe there was something a little more horror about this. And there wasn't. Now, again, if that's not a big deal to you, I did like the movie. I did think it was a fun movie. Like I said, I like Rachel McAdams, I like Dylan O'Brien, love Sam Raimi. I like the concept. I like the execution. It was all acted. Everything was great about the movie. It was a fun movie. It was I enjoyed the movie a lot. But it's not a horror movie. So it is what it is. There's nothing more to say about the movie because it's not horror. There's nothing I didn't see anything about this to me that classifies it as a horror movie. So, Ike, what do you think?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I'm sure somebody out there is probably going to hear us say that thriller is not horror. Thriller is like diet horror, okay? And I don't seem that say that in a mean way, okay? 100% I have respect for the thriller genre. There are fantastic thriller movies. It is not a traditional horror movie.
No, a thriller can be a horror.
Correct.
If done certain ways or have certain elements. I'm saying a one-to-one thriller, it does not just automatically equate to being a horror movie.
100%. And that's 100%. That's what I was going to say. It is of the same ilk of horror because I'm sure it originated from a similar place, but it is not inherently horror. It has to have very specific criteria to be horror. And that's not us gatekeeping. That is just us following the letter of how these genres are defined, right?
Yep.
So, and like you said, when I watched this movie, and I remember you and I were talking about this on a previous episode when we were like, hey, we want to try and check this out. Like, we thought that there had to be more to it, right? This was not just a simple, we're stuck on an island. We thought that there was something more to it. But as soon as I started watching the movie, I guessed how the movie was going to end. I guessed what was going to happen. I was literally able to foresee with my, magical foresight that in fact, this was how the movie was going to end. So that is kind of part of the issue with this movie is that it was very predictable. And sometimes movies are okay being predictable. It's just, to me, in order for this movie to succeed, there had to have been another layer. That was my biggest issue. There was no other layers. It was very surface level. Essentially what you see is what you get in the trailer. I was hoping that this was going to be another weapon, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping that there was going to be something ulterior that was happening somewhere, somehow within the echelons of this movie, but it just didn't happen. It just did not portray that way. Now the movie's still great, right? Sam Raimi did a fantastic job. Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien did a fantastic job. As far as like a small scope movie goes, this is kind of like an evolved small scope because they're obviously on an island. There's a little bit more wiggle room. There are some really eerie shots. There are some really like evil kind of moments that do kind of like, oh wow, that's something right there. And they both played their parts fantastically. It's just that this was not a horror movie. Right. I did not have fear or I was not scared during this movie. It was more of just like you said, it was a thriller. It was fun. It was enjoyable. But again, definitely not in the realm of horror. I would say that it was more funny than anything else.
There was, it was definitely comedy.
Oh, I was going to say, I laughed multiple times.
Like, Me too.
I was sitting there and
no the spoilers. CPR scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, the CPR scene was pretty funny. What was the other one? I'm not going to spoil it, but there's another scene. Oh, the boar. That was, that part, that kind of section was funny. But anyways, no spoilers, but there were a lot of funny parts in this. And I mean, definitely when you watch this with other people, people in the theater are laughing too. So it's like, you're enjoying it and you're like, okay, yeah, everybody's on the same page. So, but no, I definitely think that this movie kind of hurts from that perspective that it's not quite horror, but they were trying maybe to get it to that point. I think the way that they developed the trailer was for that purpose. And Sam Raimi's very tricky with that. So I don't know exactly what they were trying to aim for, but horror was not its ultimate destination. More of a dark thriller comedy, maybe. But still enjoyable. I still recommend people go watch it. It's just like Dave said, they're marketing this on the horror sites. They're marketing this before horror movies. It's just a little misleading, in my opinion.
Definitely is. And yeah, it is. Again, it is still a fun movie. I see why it was number one for a couple of weeks, because it's got a lot of across the board appeal, right? There are things that, you know, there are certain elements that, you know, certain people like. If you like different genres, there's a little comedy, there's a little bit of suspense, and there's a, you know, this and that. I mean, it's got Rachel McAdams, who in and of herself is a draw. It has Sam Raimi directing, who is a draw. I get why, you know, because it does. This is a very across the board mainstream type movie, but not horror. So I don't know. I don't even know how to rate this thing. I don't know, because it's not a horror movie. So what am I going to say? I enjoyed the movie. It wasn't anything groundbreaking or whatever else. So I guess if I'm just giving it something, it's going to be a 3 out of 5. But I can't, you know, I mean, if I'm ranking it as a horror movie, it's going to be like a fucking 1 or something, because it's not, but that's not fair to the movie. So I don't know. It's a fun movie. It's a good watch. Not a horror movie. You'll still probably enjoy it. Give it a watch. But you know, whatever. A very misleading movie. So do you have anything to add? I don't know if you want to try to garner a rating. I don't even know how to rate it.
Yeah, I would say that for me, it's very much just a 3 out of 5. It's an enjoyable movie. I didn't hate it, but again, it wasn't a horror movie. So you kind of have that little bit of hesitation on where exactly you'd rank this movie, because it is not quite to that realm of horror. So I would say a 3 out of 5 is fair. It's still enjoyable. I would rewatch this movie potentially. It's just not going to be one of those movies. This probably won't make my top 10 for 2026. Maybe an honorable mention, but definitely not going to be a top 10 contender. But still, I mean, it was enjoyable enough. I didn't hate it. So for that alone, it gets a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Did not hate the movie, but this is a horror podcast, so we have to call it for what it is. This, honestly, we shouldn't have reviewed it. It shouldn't have. We just should have. But, you know, we feel sucking of that marketing, which is, it is what it is. It's okay. And again, if you're not a huge horror fan and you're easily scared, you know, and maybe you just like to kind of dip your toe a little and test what, I mean, you know, whatever, this might be okay. Okay for you. It's still, to me, not a horror movie, but if you're very easily scared, hey, maybe there'll be a couple jump scares for you. I don't know, but, whatever. Still a fun movie, still an enjoyable watch, still go see it. Folks, if this is a date movie, this is a definite, you know, because it's something for both, you know, both people and a couple, no matter what you like, it's probably something for you both on here. So
absolutely, yeah. If you like horror, you'll probably like this to some degree. And like you said, it's a little more palatable to the general populace.
Yeah, and like I said, there was definitely some funny spots. There was some. It was an entertaining movie, but not horror. So. But what is horror is what we're reviewing next episode. You know what it is, guys. We talk about it all the time. We can't help it. We're giddy with excitement. We are, of course, like we said earlier, reviewing Scream 7. So just come back next week to listen to that. Guys, just remember, before you put it on a play, just take a deep breath and be patient with us, because here's the thing. We're super excited for the movie, but we will be blunt and frank and honest about it, because we have been about the other couple. What is this, our third? Yeah. Scream movie we reviewed, or just a second?
I think.
I mean, I know we did a franchise, but the Scream, quote unquote, Scream 5, was that within our time period? I know Scream 6.
I think
was.
That came out 2022, so okay, I don't think we actually reviewed
right before
that.
Us. Right before us. So. Yeah. All right. So there you go. But again, we're super excited. We're very, very hopeful. Again, we love all the Scream movies one way or another, but we will be honest about if what we think of the movie. We will guarantee you, we know this, we tell you all the time, there will be no spoilers. Yeah. So if you have not seen the movie, you have no fear in listening to us. We put that when we post everything we post on social media about these things, and when we post the shows, we always put our spoiler free review. We don't want to, since we're talking about these movies while they're typically still out, we want to, you know, we don't want to catch somebody and give anything away. We don't want to be those guys. So
exactly.
All right. Next episode, Scream 7. Thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers. Speaking of following, make sure you follow us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 and Screams and follow us there. You can go, like I said, you could have seen all the pictures and videos from Pentacon and lots of other things we post. So go check that out and follow us. Before we close and get out of here, Ike, is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, man. I will be killing zombies very soon in Resident Evil 9. So I'm very excited about that. And I get to watch Scream 7. This is going to be a good weekend. I'm very, very, very excited for that. Man, crazy, crazy time. I mean, what a time to be alive. You know what I mean? What a time to be alive. But nope, I think that'll do it for me. I'm super stoked for movies, video games. I'm also not horror related at all, but Dave got to try this restaurant before I did, Calvert in the Heights. And I'm going to go try it this weekend. I'm going to dinner with my in-laws, and I think we're going to go try Calvert in the Heights. But Dave loves the place.
Beautiful. The only issue I have with it at all is I had so much trouble deciding what to eat. Because there's so many things. I'm an Anglophile. I love Britain. I know people fucking joke or whatever, but I love British food. And they had all your typical highlight British dishes and everything. And here's the thing. They had all this and whatever else, and I fucking got a French dip.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. I only got it because I had been craving that, oddly enough. God. Now you make me hungry. they had the Guinness, the black and tan, where they mixed the two. Oh, I haven't had one of those in a while. They had, oh my God, such an amazing place. Loved it. Wonderful view out the window. Sit in the one room if you can with the view, or sit outside. They have outdoor seating. It's gorgeous if possible. But wonderful view. Love that place. Plus, apparently, they do live music a lot. If you go on the weekend, there might even be live music. I don't know what nights they do it, but they have live music, I think, every week. So. Exciting. I want to go back soon too. So, all right, then that is it. I'm now it's early, but I feel like I'm ready for lunch.
He needs himself some fish and chips.
I need something mighty. All right. I guess that was more Australian, but whatever. The Australia, the British penal country. All right, so that is it. Again, Scream 7 next week. Going to be exciting. Guys, go see the movie. Go have fun with it. Buy your popcorn buckets. Just have fun, right? These are the things that we live for horror. We love all the movies, but man, when these big ones come out, these big highs, that it's just going to take over the world. Everybody's going to be talking about this. Enjoy it, man. This is our moment, guys. This is our we're getting lots of moments, but this is our time in the sun. So go have fun and be crazy, but also be cool. No gatekeeping. Don't be dicks. Represent us well. Embrace the people that are just peripheral fans. Embrace the people that are just now getting into the genre. Help them out. Be cool people. That's what we want. So until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.